You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if you told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
When there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters! Oh, nice!
I think...
Trust the guitarist. Trust the guitarist.
That's keys. And then you need like that harmony. I mean, this was the 80s, you know, so...
Wasn't there a guitar as well, though?
Yeah, that dun 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 dun, bum bum. But yeah, anyway, clean. Yeah,
so really good. If you haven't guessed it, we are going to be talking about Teletubbies.
Wow, hang on. Whoa, cut. Wait, I'm in the wrong studio.
Oh, wait, sorry. It's not Teletubbies.
What time is it? Oh, is this not the Teletubbies show?
Imagine, flip. How did we land up? What are we talking about? Oh, Ghostbusters.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry, this is my notes on next week's show. Okay. At this point, Telly. which version are we doing?
I watched Teletubbies when I was a kid. Then I watched it once when I was older and I was traumatized. I was like, what did we watch as children?
We won't be doing Teletubbies.
Yeah, we're not doing Teletubbies, don't worry. We are doing Ghostbusters Afterlife, the 2021 film.
What did you enjoy about the cast?
Finn Wolfhard.
I knew it. The minute I saw it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Stranger Things. Wow. But I kind of feel like, I don't know if you felt like this. I really felt like the film was overshadowed by like Stranger Things for a couple of reasons. Number one, him, because he's Mike in Stranger Things. Number two,
Makes so much sense to have him in.
He dresses up as a Ghostbuster in Stranger Things season two.
That's right.
Like he's literally dressed up as a Ghostbuster. So now it was like, okay. Number three. Like, it's so this one wasn't set in the 80s. This one is actually set now.
2021.
But it comes from a film series that was made in the 80s. So it's kind of got like those three vibes going on. Yeah. But it was cool.
And Stranger Things was from the 80s as
So I
think that's a... It's just a well connection.
Yeah, it is. It's a cool trivia point, actually. It's like, did you know Finn Wolfhard... Yeah. But he actually thought that he wouldn't receive the role because he had worn a Ghostbuster suit in Stranger Things already.
Nah.
So he was like, that probably could count against me.
Yeah, no, definitely. They'll be like, Finn, should we carry on casting? So bring him in.
I like him.
He's it. Okay, cast for Trev has ended.
When he auditioned, he didn't know what he was auditioning for. When he auditioned, it was... titled an untitled Sony project. That's how it came through.
Yeah, because it was quite a brief, what do you call it? It was very like oh yeah, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Wow.
I think they kept it very secret. I think they kept it under wraps and then when they like really like went all out.
Yeah, yeah. Woo! Yeah. So what's your take on this film? Because they had the 2016 version.
That one I never watched, but I know that one flopped.
It did flop.
I know that was a huge flop, and I actually never even watched it. So I
also didn't watch it, but apparently, yeah. So it's called Ghostbusters Answer the Call, and it was a remake of the first 1984 version, just with I think
females.
With females, yeah.
Yeah, they went on the whole feminine thing.
So it was sort of like, oh, okay, what I loved about this one, this is a literal sequel. Mm. It's like a continuation.
This is, if you want to make, because it is kind of rebooted Ghostbusters, so it is kind of like a reboot. But at the same time, if you want to make something that was first made years ago and you want to pay homage to it and you want to, this is the way to do it.
Definitely.
Like the whole thing of not, you know, recreating the character, but actually... bringing in new characters.
And the characters were like so well linked.
Yes, because of the family ties. And but do you know, there's also behind the scenes family ties. So the guy who directed the original, it was the first two Ghostbuster films. His name is Ivan Reitman.
Wait.
His son directed
Jason.
This one. Yeah. So that was also pretty cool that his son then took on the mantle.
That makes so much sense, like, because there was so much like Easter eggs and trivia. There was so much in this film.
Yeah.
It had to like be the son. Mm-hmm. Wow, brilliant.
So that's cool. That's really cool.
Okay.
So his father directed the first two Ghostbusters, and then some other films. I just searched to see what other films he's directed. He directed Kindergarten Cop. Do you remember that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Who, Jason or the father?
The father, Ivan.
He did Kindergarten Cop as well.
He also did Beethoven. Do you remember the movie with the dog Beethoven?
Yes,
Beethoven.
I do remember.
And I'd actually be interested to watch this film. I haven't watched it, but you know, Alfred Hitchcock, he is the director of Psycho. He was one of the earliest, like, most influential directors.
Yeah.
He made a film, Hitchcock. So it's obviously a biopic on Alfred Hitchcock, but I'd actually be interested to watch that because of, first of all, it's on Alfred Hitchcock, but then second of all, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that there's many films that I just picked like three out of the list, but that's the father.
That is
Ivan.
Father's Day, and obviously, I mean, he's an old school director, so I'm sure since like whatever his career started, the 70s or 80s, he has done a lot of films. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ghostbusters was definitely a good. Well, there were only two.
Weren't there three?
I think there was talk about a third one. And in fact, there was a lot of preparation done, and then one of the characters died.
Oh yes, is that what caused it to stop?
And then Bill Murray didn't want to be involved.
So the character that passed away is Harold Ramis.
I had no clue until I did my research.
He died in 2014.
Yeah,
from an autoimmune inflammatory. Mm. It's called autoimmune inflammatory vasculitis.
Yes,
which is. Sounds horrible, but he was 69 years old, and the disease involves swelling of blood vessels.
Oh, shame.
Right?
Yeah, that
so that was. But what I loved is that they still, and it's probably, let me finish my sentence, they still included him in the film, even though he's passed away, and it's probably one of the reasons why the original cast, the three original, because there were four Ghostbusters, but the other three actually came back, and they did, it's cameo, but it was a good way to cameo them.
It was brilliant.
Because it wasn't just one quick scene, you're like, oh, look, it's so-and-so. They were involved in the story as well. They were as much in the story, actually, as the rest of the characters.
Yeah, that's right. I think what was so well done about it is the fact that, well, number one, he was dead, and he was dead in the film as well. But then not only that, but I was really happy. You know that the good girl doesn't get the guy thing that I love about films, because there's something so true about it. The fact that he didn't speak in the film, because like you saw him, you know, towards the end, you know, he's like ghost, whatever, helping his granddaughter out. And I'm like, please don't speak. Don't speak. Just that's it. Just smile. Just don't speak. And he didn't speak. And I was like, yes.
Suppose brilliant. It would have been difficult for, they would have had to like dub the voice
or
whatever.
Yeah, there's ways of doing it, you know. But
it was really interesting though how they brought him into the film. So on set, if you look at the behind the scenes footage, which is incredible. I enjoyed watching the behind the scenes so much because of all the practical effects they did. But you'll see another character.
Did you watch the behind the scenes with Adam Savage?
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
Because I don't know what that is. Okay, we'll come back
to that. I'll get to that,
So there's another actor that was actually just a placement, and you see he's got the markers on his face and everything.
Right.
That was played by Bob Gunton. And then what they did was they had the original original film, as in, you know, because they used to film on actual film. They had the original film from the first two Ghostbusters. So what they did was they ran that and got a very high quality version of the original film. And then they took all of the footage of... what's his name? Forgot his name now. Harold.
Is it? Yes.
Yes. So they took all of that footage, and then they used that as obviously a reference. And then if you look at him in the film and him at 69 or whatever, he doesn't actually look the same. But I think it's because he did have that disease, which is, it says autoimmune inflammatory, which means he would swell. And obviously that would affect how he'd look physically as well. So I think what they did was actually clever, where... they kind of kept him looking like his younger self when he was in Ghostbusters.
An older version of the younger self.
But a 70-year-old version of that, which kind of for me is clever because you're keeping with the character then. Like the character's look. Do you understand? Because like in the story, he didn't have that disease. That's not what he died from. He died because of a ghost.
Because of a ghost. Right. And Bill Murray actually had a fallout with him. Like quite a bad fallout in a previous film that they were in together.
Serious?
So they had not spoken for 20 years. And I think maybe that's the thing that made it more difficult for him. You know, when they wanted to do the third Ghostbusters, I think in 20, somewhere around after they had died already. So I think for them to be in the film and have obviously a CG or ghost performance of Harold, I think was quite emotional for them. I know that in the one interview that I saw where they were interviewing the three of them, Bill Murray, like maybe I was misreading him wrong, but you could see he was quite emotional.
Shame.
Like he almost had like sort of tears.
Yeah.
Like he sort of like looked away and stuff like that. But for them, especially that part where they were standing together, you see the three of them and they're all looking at him.
Yeah.
And I loved that part. I was like, I was just like, yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah. It was awesome. It was for me, what I loved about this film the most was the, I almost want to use the word heritage, because apparently even the props.
Yeah.
There was a lot of props that was in this film that was from the original,
film,
a toaster. There was there was apparently a freaking toaster.
And also Phoebe in the film, who's played by McKenna Grace, she wears the same eyeglass frames.
The glasses.
Yes, that Harold Ramis wore as Dr. Yeah. Egon Spengler in the original Ghostbusters.
I loved how they did her.
Yeah,
hey,
and she has a similar hairstyle. Yeah.
Everything. I was just like, I'm sure this is his daughter. Like it was so well done.
Yeah. And yeah, the what I think I really enjoyed about the film, which is weird, but I understand why they did it. So they played a lot of homage to the original Ghostbusters,
yeah.
And as a result, they didn't want visual effects. Like they did have visual effects, obviously, but they didn't want to do it visual effects. Mm. They wanted to actually go with more practical effects on set. That's why it's so cool to watch the behind the scenes footage, because you literally watch them do all of these. Like if there's an explosion or whatever, or if there's wind or whatever it may be, they really, the practical effects are like proper. For some people they wouldn't like that, because some of the characters, like those dogs, they can look almost puppet-like, which is what they were in the original film. And they did kind of do that. And for some people, it might be like, ugh, they could have done the graphics way better. Mm. But I understand why they did that, because they actually wanted to do it how it would have been done in the 80s, and then just like added on like a few little tweaks here and there. One of the things I really enjoyed was, you know, they were the goggles that podcast still wore. The
I love that dude.
But was epic.
That dude
that character.
I loved him.
No, he was awesome. But they'd made those goggles a Polaroid camera thing as well. So at one point he takes the photo and then the thing comes out and he just fans it.
Yeah.
But one thing that Ivan, the father who directed the original Ghostbusters, said is he was like, why didn't we think of that when we did it originally? Because we had Polaroid in the 80s. So he was even like, flip, that was so cool. I don't know why we didn't think of that.
And that prop was a real Polaroid camera. How crazy. Like it was a real. In fact, so with the behind the scenes, if for you guys who know Adam Savage from Mythbusters.
Oh, wait. I actually did see something now.
That's
I didn't watch it though.
He did a whole, he was looking at the props, he was on the set. They even let him drive. Now the what is the vehicle called? That one.
Econ.
Now that is the original one from the first, the actual first. Like they let him drive that, but apparently they serviced the transmission of the car, but that thing drove like when he was driving it, he floored it. And they actually said that they needed to really advance the suspension and the engine there because of, so when you see what the car was doing within the film, it was really doing that. But he, like the props, the detail, you know what? I really, really do take my hat off to the props team.
Yeah, the production.
Like the
design.
House, that whole house, they built it from the bottom all the way up. I don't know if you guys know what actually goes into making a film. How much preparation, like this last week, a lot of research and stuff that I was doing was a lot of like stuff like Prevus, stuff like, I mean, when they were looking for a place to for that house to be, they literally apparently were they had a drone and they were flying around the area. And you know, like where you have this augmented reality on your phone where you can like place things.
Yes.
Like you can have a dragon on the table. You're like, whoa. And as you move it, like your camera, it still stays there. They were doing that with the house. They would drive, they were That's going so with the cool. drone around the countryside and sort of placing it and looking for the best place to put it. The house, they did, and I mean, if you look at the paint job, the way they made it look, that old rugged, the holes in the ceiling, the book stack, the like literally the kitchen, and like he was actually Adam Savage was interviewing the guys that was doing the props, and they were talking about the process on how they actually do the props. Like they got all the rooms and they got to populate the house, and they populate the house based on the profile of the character. You know. He doesn't pay his bills. He's a bit lazy, but that's because he's, you know, he's very focused on what he was doing, stuff like that. But he was even saying to the point that when they populate each room, they don't like, okay, populate the kitchen. Okay, they build it, finish, done. They do every house, every room. They'll do it like 10%. They'll do 10% the one room. They'll do 10% of the next room. They'll do 10%, and then as they're going, they're filling it up. But even to the props. Like the what do you call it, that gun thing that they had, I can't remember,
the peck, yeah, whatever it was,
that
called
one,
yeah,
that one. But like how it's really got lights in it, and even if you look at how it looks, like it's got a bit of a like a wooden handle, and it's even got like a bit of tape around it, you can see like the usage and the detail in the props. Like,
and it was heavy.
It's actually
heavy.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Nobody actually realizes how much goes into these teams that build and prep for the day of shooting. So
They also have to balance, so setting up the whole sets, the costumes, etc. You know, that's all falls under one department. So it's props, the set design, which is your actual like putting things in a room, making a room look like the room is supposed to look, and then on top of that, props, everything, that's all under your production designer. So it's literally one person managing all of these different teams. But at the same time, they also have to work out logistically and financially, how do we do this the best way possible, but also that's going to be ready on this day of shoots, because we have to have this ready by this day of shoots, and also that it fits within our budgets. So it's really, it's a crazy department that's, and this is the thing, is when for a production designer to succeed in what they've done in a film, you actually mustn't notice their work. Because you're not supposed to feel and go, wow. Oh my word, look how they put that prop there. They're supposed to create a world that the story and the characters live in, and you're now just entering their world. Which means, you know, in our world, it's not like our room set up and then we know that there's lights outside and there's a whole crew that's not realistic. So I don't know if like you've ever noticed, especially they do this with series, you know that this is a set. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched something and you're just like, this is such a soundstage.
If you look around.
That's a failure. As a production designer, you've actually failed in doing your job.
Like sometimes it's too clean.
Yes. Yeah. The best production designers, you don't even notice their work. That's actually the
job
of a...
Like there's a bag in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, and for some reason,
subconsciously,
there's a toolbox
you pick
there.
It up.
Well,
yes.
That's what the guy was saying. He was like, he walks into a room and then... He thinks to himself, you know, if you go into the kitchen, okay, if you go watch the film, ever look for, I don't know if you see the basin, but there was even dishes in the basin because he was a person who didn't do dishes.
Yeah.
So like there's that detail that's like, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. One of the things I also really enjoyed was, you know, the traps, like they really went to town with the traps in this one. And even there was the one on the wheels, there was the traps all around his house.
I loved that one on the wheels.
Everyone loved the one on the wheels. They said every time that thing came on set, people were like, I want one of these.
Was that in the first one and two?
No, that was something that they also added to this one.
Okay.
But then one of the things I also really enjoyed, back to Stranger Things, is I don't know if you remember I think it's season 3 of Stranger Things. They're actually, so something from, there's this little cute lizard thing that doesn't turn out to be cute. It's actually a demodog. But it was very small and Dustin captures it, and they have this toy because they, it would have been season 2, I think, because they're just dressed up as the Ghostbusters. But, and obviously Dustin had the trap as one of his like, you know, part of his outfit.
That.
And then they actually capture the demodog in the trap. But it was just cool how, Like, it actually...
I remember that,
both
yes.
films... Obviously, Stranger Things is basing it off of Ghostbusters. Mm. But, like, it's... Yeah, the whole...
The connection is pretty
cool.
The
connection is really cool between the two films. Yeah.
I must say, with the effects, what you were saying about, you know, them still keeping it practical, but still... Yeah, I did feel that this film had the original Ghostbusters film. So, I'm glad that they didn't, you know... They gave it that little bit of a touch-up, that a bit of an advance. So, like, when the ghosts sort of moved, you know, those dog things, whatever. Like, when they came into town, they had that, like, glow dog, like, streak. Like I like that. And then, although the dogs, though, did bug me, but it is the puppet thing.
But also, what I think Ghostbusters, like, is known for is it is actually a comedy film.
And they kept
even
that.
Even though there's a horror feel to it, it's actually comedy. And one of the things they said about Ghostbusters is whenever something's supposed to scare you, it actually is funny. And then whenever something's cute,
those
it's actually
marshmallow
scary.
Guys.
So that's why it was brilliant with the dog is it's supposed to scare you, but at the same time you're like, but it looks like a puppet. But then with the marshmallows, you're like, oh, they're so cute. Next month there's this giant marshmallow from like the second film walking in the street eating people and you're like, ah, the marshmallow is eating. Yeah, so yeah, that was...
Those little marshmallows were so cute.
They were cute, right?
I love what they did with them. Like, they're busy prying each other.
Yes!
They're busy... And the making reactions, s'mores. The way that they had reactions on the little guys. I mean...
But, like, even with the... You know, when Paul Rudd is looking at the marshmallow bag and suddenly you see the marshmallows poking up and then one pops out, that was also practical effects. Literally, in the behind the scenes, you see the props team. So, they're sitting behind the shelf.
Oh, cool.
And they've got these, like, rods. So, there were four rods and two guys are controlling them and then they started pushing them up. So the rods were under the marshmallow packets and every time, all connected to the marshmallow packet, and every time they did that, the marshmallow, it would push the marshmallows up, and then when the little marshmallow finally popped out of the thing, they would then push the one like really high and then it then broke through the packet. So like from Paul Rudd's performance, obviously from an eye contact perspective, he was able to look at the actual positioning.
You see, that's true. That's true.
That was really cool.
I know the director said that what's really great about practical effects, the in-camera effects, is that that item that the characters interacting with, it makes it more, it helps the character a lot more because they know what they're looking at, they know the size of the thing, it helps them to sort of really connect with whatever it is. So I can imagine with that packet, I mean, if somebody told you, imagine there's a packet of marshmallows on the shelf and it's busy popping. And I can tell you now that
they can do that.
The character's reaction probably wouldn't been as great or as realistic.
Yeah.
So
it was a really cool film. It really was a good film. Yeah. So that is Ghostbusters Afterlife. Ha-ha.
Yeah.
The 2021 version. Match, I'm not going to watch the 2016 version, but this one would
I saw enough. I was like, okay, cool.
This one would get me to go watch the first two, the original two, just because of how... The way it linked up with them was really cool. That literally, I was watching this film and thinking, this is how you do a sequel. This is how you bring something old back. This is it. All the other reboots and other things that people have tried to do and you're just like...
Stop that.
No, that's not... This is how you do
definitely.
It.
Definitely. Because I was feeling a bit like, Ghostbusters, okay. And then, turned out to be really, really great.
No, it was really cool.
I must say that the character Logan Kim...
That, as podcast.
That guy.
No, that was...
That guy was too much.
That character was epic.
His facial reactions. Yeah. And apparently he is. He's literally a gamer, comedian. So I was just like... Makes so much sense.
Makes
but
so much sense. Yeah.
I definitely enjoyed his acting. And apparently there's talk about a sequel? No.
It makes sense though from like
a
the...
film after this one?
The post-credit scenes.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
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 Definitely a good idea. They should do that.
Yeah. But this has been The Movie Show.
On on your favorite ORSPS.
And we will be back next week. Yes. Until then.
Yes.
Until then.
Stay safe.
And call the Ghostbusters.
You know who to call.
You know. Oh, that light was so cool in the jail. Don't I get a phone call? Yeah. The cop walks up.
Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? I was like, that was brilliant. There we go. This is Ryan doing the outro music for our show.
Oh, yeah. It's 80s, right? Hey.
Hi, my name is Johan Kruger. I'm with Creation Ministries International, and you're listening to Active Affirm.